Scott Jackson, you're here on Priority Auto Sports Radio 94.1. We're brought to you by Larry King Law. Our pleasure right now to bring in via the Ballyhoo's guest line, Mike Richmond, a longtime Washington Redskins historian, also an author of many books about the franchise. His latest is on the life and legacy of George Allen and his career with the franchise and as a football coach. And Mike, thanks so much for getting some time today. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks. Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to talk about George Allen, A Football Life, my newest book.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. Now, George Allen, you know, I often talk to people about this franchise, and I say, look, I know Joe Gibbs won all the Super Bowls, and, you know, he was a very important figure, and obviously Vince Lombardi had a short period of time, but after that and in between, of course, it was George Allen, who was really the guy who had the best success prior to Joe Gibbs with this franchise, and sometimes it gets forgotten, and also maybe the best character this franchise has ever had as well in terms of a head coach.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think that's definitely one thing that's lost in history is that George Allen really started the true wave of Redskins fanaticism that existed in the modern era. I mean, the 70s, when he coached 71 through 77, the Redskins were one of the top teams in the league through that period. He took them to their first Super Bowl VII, 14-7 loss to the Miami Dolphins. They went to four other playoff appearances while he coached here, all first-round losses. But he had them, they were among the better teams in the league during that period, and that's when that real Redskins fanaticism surfaced. And it's very fair to say that he intensified the Redskins-Cowboys rivalry. The real intensity that we saw during the Gibbs era, that started, truthfully, with George Allen.
Yeah, George Allen, you know, was it a famous quote where he said he'd like to fight Tom Landry in midfield or something crazy like that, right, that had fired up everybody?
Well, that would have been an interesting confrontation because Allen was like a green belt in karate.
Yeah.
He earned a belt in karate. And Landry, of course, was a former Cowboys defensive back. He was a World War II fighter pilot. So he was a pretty tough guy. So that would have been an interesting confrontation. But it was actually a motivational ploy.
Sure.
Allen made that comment in a team meeting the night before the game. And he cracked a board and he broke a bone in his hand or something like that. But it was just to get his team riled up to play the Cowboys. It was one thing that he did. He just had this antipathy for the Cowboys. He couldn't stand them. He couldn't stand their snobby image. And he didn't like Tex Schramm at all. He thought Tex Schramm had an in with Pete Rozelle, the NFL commissioner, because those two knew each other from the 1950s when they worked at the L.A. Rams together. So he always thought that those two were conspiring against him in the NFL. Like, for instance, the first three Redskins games in 1971, Allen's first season were road games against NFC's opponents, games that actually the Redskins won all three of them, and then they won the first five games that year. But he thought that was a plot on the part of Rozelle and Tex Schramm to set that Redskins team back. So he always had this hatred for the Cowboys.
Well, I'm with him. I love it. I was raised that way, too, so I totally believe in that, what he's saying. The football life, George Allen, A Football Life, you know, one of the things that is really interesting, and maybe people forget, that this guy never had a losing record. I mean, he never had a losing season his entire career. And, you know, with the Washington Redskins, you know, he had the power too, right? He wasn't just the head coach. He was the general manager. You know, he was the guy that really preferred veterans over young players and the Over the Hill gang. He just seemed to have his pulse on everything, Mike, with this franchise.
Yes, well, he was in control of the entire franchise except for ownership. I mean, it was his team. When Edward Bennett Williams hired him in 1971, and Jack and Cook, I should say, they gave him that control, and he had he could sign whatever players he wanted. He traded for so many veteran players, like you just said. I mean, those were the players that he preferred. He led the construction of Redskins Park, which was a state-of-the-art facility, when the first Redskins Park was built in Chantilly, Virginia, in 1971. I mean, that was Allen's brainchild. I mean, he wanted the best facilities for the Redskins, and he certainly got it. I mean, Redskins Park was a great place to practice at the time. So that was all Allen's vision. The players, the draft choices. I mean, he had full control over that. But that was the authority that was granted to him in that contract. And but actually, that's part of what led to the antagonism between between Edward Bennett Williams and George Allen. Williams thought that he was spending too much money on these veteran players, some of whom weren't seeing any time on the field at all, like such as Maxi Bond, so the great Eagles and Rams linebacker who Allen acquired. So, but that's one thing that led to that, that's one reason their relationship really soured.
Yeah, George Allen, of course, Hall of Fame coach. Mike Richmond with us. George Allen, A Football Life is the new book. Dick Vermeil writes the foreword here, which is great. Of course, Dick Vermeil, a wonderful coach in his own right. What did you learn from talking to Dick Vermeil, and how great was it for him to do this for you?
Well, sure. Well, the reason I picked Dick Vermeil is he was hired as one of the first special teams coaches in the league by Allen in 1969, when George Allen coached the Rams. He hired Vermeil to focus solely on special teams. That same year, the Eagles hired Marv Levy as their special teams coaches. So those were the two special team, the first special teams coaches in the league. Oh, Vermeil just, he gave that great anecdote in the forward about how, you know, Allen being so detail-oriented, he wanted to know everything about an opposing team that he could possibly know. He sent Vermeil on a scouting trip to scout the Baltimore, then Baltimore Colts in the preseason. He wanted to know, Allen wanted to know why John Mackey, the great Colts tight end, was lining a little off the, you know, off the tackle, or why he was positioning himself sort of the way he was, and what that meant for the particular play that the Colts would call. So Vermeil came back with a report saying, Coach, you know, there's nothing conclusive that I learned in terms of the way Mackey was lined up. But it was just an example. It was it painted a picture of how detail-oriented Allen was. I mean, throughout his entire coaching career, he wanted to know everything possible about the opposing team, more than they knew about themselves.
Very paranoid too, right, Mike? I mean, wasn't he supposedly always looking, thinking people were in the woods at Redskins Park checking out the practice?
Oh, he had a spy, or a security guy, Ed 00 Boynton, who he brought from the Rams.
Yeah.
Boynton held that same role with the Los Angeles Rams. But Boynton did the same thing at Redskins Park. I mean, at that time, Redskins Park was a totally isolated facility. I mean, there was nothing else around it but trees. But still, Allen felt that people could still sneak through and watch practices. And Allen also had his paranoia toward the media. I mean, he didn't like the press at all. He was one of the first coaches to really express that attitude toward the press. And Allen felt that the reporters, whether they were reporting for the local media, the DC media, or media from opposing cities, were going to share those secrets with other teams. He truly felt that. And so, and by the way, one of Allen's nicknames was Nixon with a whistle, because Nixon also had that hatred for the media. So the two were friends, by the way,
yeah,
as we know. So, but Allen was often compared to Nixon, and he was dubbed Nixon with a whistle.
Mike Richmond's with us, the author of George Allen, A Football Life. Mike's written a lot of great books about the Washington Redskins organization, including one on Joe Gibbs as well. Also, the Redskins Encyclopedia. Good enough to give us some time here via the Ballyhoo's guest hotline. All right. One of the more fascinating things about George Allen, for me, growing up, learning about him, from my father, was the relationship, the poor relationship with the Hall of Fame quarterback, Sonny Jurgensen. And again, these are two very important figures in the time of the franchise, all-time important figures in the franchise, but yet never a great relationship. What exactly happened there? Why did it get off on such a bad foot, and why did it never really improve?
Sure. So when Allen came to coach the Redskins in 1971, he knew that Jurgensen was going to be his starting quarterback. First of all, Sonny had those great passing years in the 60s, and that one of which was a great season under Lombardi, and he was coming off a really nice year in 1970. So Sonny Jurgensen was going to be his starting quarterback. Sonny went down with a shoulder injury in the 71 preseason. He separated his shoulder. So that's when Allen tapped Billy Kilmer to be the starter heading into the regular season opener. So, I mean, that whole story needs to be, you know, kind of put in proper context, that it wasn't Billy Kilmer who Allen looked at the whole time as being his starter from the opening day. But and Jurgensen struggled with injuries for the most part through the first four seasons of the Allen regime. I mean, he did see some pretty good time on the field in 74, but by then he was about, after the 74 season, he was about to turn 40, and this is something that I discovered in the George Allen archives at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Edward Bennett Williams wrote a memo to Allen after the 74 season, saying, "Listen, George," and this relates to the money, the spending. He said, "Listen, George, you cannot keep both Sonny Jurgensen and Billy Kilmer on the team at the same time." At the time, or in the 74 season, Jurgensen made $180,000, Kilmer $125,000. And for that time, that was a lot of money for a professional football player. So then Allen decided that Jurgensen was the player who had to go. Sonny had been stricken with injuries in his first four seasons under Allen, and actually Williams as well didn't think he would last much longer because of all of the injuries. That's what Allen said to Sonny: "Listen, we're not going to renew your contract. Sonny's contract expired on May 1st, 1975. So that Allen told him, we're not going to renew your contract, and that's when Sonny left, when he retired. But that whole story, I fully explained it in the book, that it wasn't a unilateral decision on the part of Allen to get rid of Sonny Jurgensen. I mean, Edward Bennett Williams actually initially encouraged him to get rid of either Sonny or Billy Kilmer. Kilmer was Allen's man. I mean, he had started most of those games in the first four seasons. So, and Allen saw him as an extension of himself on the field because of his conservative play calling. At the time, the quarterbacks called their own plays.
That's right. I mean, it's so different. It's wild to think about. Well, Mike, this is a great story. I know you got a lot of cooperation from the Allen family, which is wonderful, and so many people that were around there and had front row seats for what was an incredible Hall of Fame career. George Allen, A Football Life by Mike Richmond, the foreword also written by Dick Vermeil. You can get it right now on Amazon and all better bookstores, I'm sure, as well. Great holiday gift, Mike. It's just right here, right? I mean, this is a great idea for a holiday for that Redskin fan in your life.
Absolutely, Scott. I also thank you for mentioning Amazon. I also want to mention my website, which is MikeRichmondJournalist.com. And if you want to purchase it through my website, you can get an author autographed copy.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for your time, for joining us today, and good luck with the book. It sounds like it's going to be another bestseller.
Thank you very much, Scott. I certainly appreciate you having me on, and I love the conversation.
All right, Scott Jackson Show here on Priority Auto Sports Radio 94.1. We're brought to you by Larry King Law.